Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
It is The Savage Nation. It's a very Blue Monday indeed. We have had the chickens come home to roost as a result of the race war that has been stirred up by Barack Obama, Eric Holder, with the street thug Al Sharpton in the lead, the mayor of New York, de Blasio, Jesse Jackson. They have piled on. They've been stirring up the rioters. They've been basically winking and nodding. They said go and do it, and it happened. Now, of course, they didn't want the cops killed. They just wanted more power flowing to the top. When there's a race war, what you do is you take out the police who protect those you're attacking. And what you do is you take out the defense cells. And there's no better way to take out the defense cells of America, the thin blue line, than to attack them with lies. Now, there's another element to this that no one in the media has touched on. And I'm shocked that I didn't hear it anywhere in the media today, or frankly, it's Monday, I didn't hear it anywhere yet. The man who murdered two police officers in Brooklyn is a Muslim jihadist, according to Waleed Shubat, who speaks Arabic, who has been in the show many times. I saw a link to this over the weekend, only a brief one, where the murderer, Brinsley, posted a Quranic verse, 860, from the Quran. The sacred Quran has a Quranic verse that he quoted on his Facebook page that says, "Strike terror into the hearts of the enemies of Allah." Now remember, the Global Muslim Brotherhood uses a segment of the same Quranic verse in its logo. Did you know that? Did you know that the Muslim Brotherhood movement seeks the installation of Islamic caliphate that follows Sharia laws? Did you know that? Now they know it very well in Egypt because they speak Arabic and they've dealt with the Muslim Brotherhood by arresting them. In this country, the Muslim Brotherhood is invited into the White House. So if you think that the killings of the police happened in a vacuum, you're crazy. This was the result of years of stirring up class warfare and race warfare. I found this race war predicted in a little-known book, a book not heard from. I found the prediction of a race war in a little-known book. I was researching this horrible execution over the weekend. And here is what this little-known book stated. It stated this. It asked the question, will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? And then the author said, let me explain to you what is happening. The desperate Democrats are all pursuing policies of race and class warfare. As their failures and many deceits become clearer to the people, as the war they're fighting against the freedoms promised in the U.S. Constitution materializes, they are counting on minority voters to turn out for them at the ballot box. And then this little-known book had excerpts from some of their speeches to high school and college graduates. And the book quoted Michelle Obama. The book quoted Eric Holder, one of the worst of the race haters the country's ever seen. And Holder is one of the smoothest of the race haters I've ever seen. He says it without saying it. He gives the signals without signaling. He winks without moving an eye. But there were others who fanned the flames of race warfare, including Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi called the children, the druggers, the drug addicts at UC Berkeley to arms, and she called them disruptors, and she celebrated their being disruptors. Here is one of the richest, most powerful women in the world stirring up the masses to attack and to incite violence, in my opinion. That's all on pages 2 to 5 of this little-known book. But this little-known book that would not be touched by the girls at Fox News has something even worse in the predictions. And that's this. The book talks about what the military is going through. You know what's going on in the police departments, where they're trying to push out white males from power positions and push in unqualified minorities as fast as they can. It's worse in the military. Page 44 of this little-known book. This administration's military policies include expanding the cultural Marxism that characterizes all its policies to include Christians in the military. Listen to one of the president's pet projects, which is the DOD's Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute. Now remember, the DEOMI, the Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute, was formed way back in 1971 to help address racial inequality in the military. And from that admirable start, it has been changed into a leftist propaganda factory, promoting radical feminist issues and spreading anti-Christian directives while shredding the iconic image of our armed forces. Here is what Obama has done in the DEOMI. Here is the manual. I will quote it exactly so you'll know what's going to happen next in the military. Here is their quote. Simply put, a healthy, white, heterosexual Christian male receives many unearned advantages of social privilege, whereas a black, homosexual, atheist female in poor health receives many unearned disadvantages of social privilege. The manual in the military goes on and says, in spite of slave insurrections, civil war, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, the women's suffrage movement leading to the 19th Amendment, the civil rights movement, urban rebellions, and the contemporary feminist movement, the white males club persists. I want you to think about those statements. Think about the garbage that is fed to impressionable young men and women by this administration. And then recall the square-jawed soldiers that for decades on recruitment posters successfully encouraged men and some women to join the armed services. What do you think the recruitment posters of the near future will look like? The attack on our nation is going on around the clock, and the snake is Obama. The head snake is Obama, the man on vacation in Hawaii. Now, we have sound bites where I'm going to present them to you. I did my homework. I asked the guys who work for the Savage Nation to go back and get all the sound of the last few weeks so de Blasio, the sneak, cannot hide, so Sharpton, the snake, cannot hide behind his new entourage of haters and make believe he's Mr. Peace. He is the most incendiary piece of garbage the American people have ever had to put up with, that phony garbage. How did he get where he is? How does a rat from the gutters who has done so much damage to this nation rise to such prominence at a time like this? How does a rat like that go in and out of the White House without anyone in the media saying a word? How? You figure out how. Sharpton is America. Sharpton is the Obama voice. You say, whoa, Sharpton? He's not Sharpton. He's Obama. He's Holder. He's the street thug. He says what Obama and Holder want him to say. That's what they were having him in the White House for. Did he want police killed? Oh, no, he didn't. He's a man of peace. He's a civil rights leader. He's gotten where he is because he's such a fine reverend. No one knows where he got his reverend's degree. I bet people on the show many times I pay $100 to anyone who could produce the divinity degree that this con man has earned. I've never gotten it. So let's go back in time and play some of the sound so they can't reinvent history. We have archived audio where you will see Obama, Sharpton, Holder, Jesse High Jackson, and de Blasio were stirring up racial hatred and trying to take out the white police force. What's ironic here is that the jihadist who executed those two cops executed an Asian and an Hispanic. Did you know that? Now, there are many other incidents not being reported all over the country. A cop in Florida was killed yesterday. Many, many incidents like this, all because of the racial hatred coming out of the White House and their street thugs, in my opinion. I could ask you a question, which I will do. Who do you most blame for the cop killings? There's a lot of blame to go around. Who do you most blame for the execution of these police? Well, let's start with the mayor of New York City, the second most important political position in the country. And let's start with clip 31, the one everyone remembers that de Blasio wishes to God would go away, right now in the Savage Nation.
We've had to literally train him, as families have all over this city for decades, in how to take special care in any encounter he has with the police officers who are there to protect him. And that painful sense of contradiction that our young people see first, that our police are here to protect us, and we honor that. And at the same time, there's a history we have to overcome, because for so many of our young people, there's a fear.
And then in 32, he goes on and attacks the police.
And for so many of our families, there's a fear. So I've had to worry over the years. Shirlane's had to worry. Was Dante safe each night? There are so many families in this city who feel that each and every night. Is my child safe? And not just from some of the painful reality of crime and violence in some of our neighborhoods, but are they safe from the very people they want to have faith in as their protectors? That's the reality.
So this snake de Blasio, who everyone who can read, anyone with higher than an 80 IQ knows, is a stone-hearted Marxist, a supporter of the Sandinistas, has gotten just what he wanted, in my opinion. He stirred the pot. He said the police are racist. And then Holder moved in and said, we're going to retrain the police across America because they're white racist pigs. Oh, he didn't say white racist pigs. He's too slick for that. But the wink and the nod said that. And so guess what just happened? There's a war on the police across America. There are three dead now that we know of in the last 3 days. And the police now are intimidated. They're being told, make sure the other guy shoots you first. The new rules of engagement for the cops are, it's better we have a dead cop than a dead terrorist. Same as in the military. The whole world is upside down because the world is being run by people with upside down brains. You're listening to the Savage Nation on a very, very troubled day. I've been agitated since Saturday when this news first came out. I was out of town and I couldn't wait to get on the air, and I had to think very carefully about who did this and was there a terrorist connection. Well, we found out that the cops were killed by a Muslim jihadist, Ismail Brinsley. The minute I saw his first name, I knew there was a connection to jihad. Ismail Brinsley. According to Walid Shubar, who reads Arabic, he has two Muslim names, Ismail and the middle name Abdullah, which means servant of Allah. He is a fan of Sheikh Yusuf Estes, who is not only neck deep in the Muslim Dawah movement, the call to convert Westerners to Islam, but he meets with both ISIS and Hamas financiers. And the murderer, the cop killer, loved the Quran, specifically Surah 8 on his own Facebook page, which called for arming for preparation for jihad war. So you want to know a motive of why Brinsley shot the two NYPD officers? Do you want to know why? Brinsley is apparently a jihad sympathizer, at least he was, who used the racial turmoil stirred up by Obama and Holder and Sharpton as an excuse to kill Americans. Now, I want to play for you something that you should never forget, because the worst of them all is the president, of course. You well know that. None of this would be happening if the leader didn't want it to happen. That's why he has that slimy Sharpton in and out of the White House for these 6 years. They're working on the same page book. And so let's not forget what the fraudulent civil rights faker Sharpton actually said over the last few weeks. Let's hear clip number 7 from the suddenly peaceful little con man.
The fight ain't over. And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round. You won the first round, Mr. Prosecutor, but don't cut your gloves off, because the fight's not over. Justice
not over.
Will come
fight's
to
not
Ferguson.
Over.
Fight's not over, you con man, you. You con man, you. How Phil Griffin should be ashamed of himself. Phil Griffin is slimier than Al Sharpton. Phil Griffin is the secret hand behind NBC. Phil Griffin is the slime ball who lets this race monger have a show on the most despicable of television stations, MSNBC. So if you think this is happening in a vacuum, you are mistaken. It's a seamless connection between the most racially insensitive and incendiary administration since the Civil War and the media, the government media complex. And when I come back, we'll continue to talk about who is responsible for the assassination of the cops, not only in New York, but in Florida. There was another incident an hour ago here in San Francisco, in the San Francisco area, where I broadcast from, up in Humboldt County, where a California highway patrolman was attacked by a youth with a machete and had to shoot the youth dead. Where's Al Sharpton? Is he on an express train to Humboldt? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Playing the pipes for the slain NYPD officers and all the others who have died in the race wars stirred up by the most racially divisive administration this country has ever seen. And if you think it's a joke, keep on laughing. Because the police, the thin blue line, are all that stands between you and them. Alleged Muslim Brotherhood front groups such as the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, have played a role in organizing the anti-police protests in major U.S. cities. Did you know that? Did you know any of this? NYPD assassin held radical Islamic views, may have attended same mosque as AQ fundraiser, World Trade Center bomber. Did you know any of that? Did you know that it's connected to the major groups? Well, the article is on Breitbart.com. They make their points and they have facts to back it up. Alleged Muslim Brotherhood groups, such as the Council on American Islamic Relations, have played a key role in organizing the anti-police protests in major U.S. cities. Now, have you noticed mixed in with these Ferguson protesters have been jihadists with the scarves? Palestinians, have you noticed that? Kyle Scheidler of the Center for Security Policy warned that CARE was seeking to target law enforcement under the camouflage of civil rights. In August, CARE picked Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton, that vermin, to host its annual banquet. Al Sharpton, of all people in this country, has made his bones on the backs of police. He has led anti-police demonstrations throughout the nation, and his slimy lawyer has made billions of dollars suing NYPD.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Something as deeply rooted as racism or bias in any society. You got to have vigilance, but you have to recognize that it's going to take some time, and you just have to be steady so that you don't give up when we don't get all the way there.
Now, this silk-tongued inciter of hatred is the silk-glove salesman of racism in this country. See, there are many different levels of a revolution. And the smoothest talkers go to the top. Him and Holder are the top of the pyramid. The street level are the Sharptons, the Jacksons, in my opinion, the street agitators. And the actual murderers are those with the guns and the clubs and the machetes. The useful idiots are the college girls, the Adderall children, who lay down in the gutters and block transit points, block tunnels. The useful idiots who come from middle-class homes raised on hatred of the society itself. Behind it all are the silk glove salesmen, Obama and Holder, the smoothest men I've ever seen. Never raise their voice, never actually say the words that could come back to haunt them. They're too smart for that. I was in sales many years ago as a young man. I was 18, I don't know what it was, and I was told that there's a silk glove level of selling where you don't even know you're being sold. It's sort of a public relations position. That's silk glove selling. And that down in the street of the salesman who actually closed the deal. So Sharpton goes out to close the deal. And it's Phil Griffin at NBC who keeps him employed. It's unbelievable to me that this goes on, that the people don't see through this. The connection to Islam, the Muslim jihadist who killed the two police. I'm shocked that I'm the only one in the media talking about it. I'm shocked that de Blasio still has a job today when he stirred up this hatred. I'm just shocked. I'm not shocked at Sharpton. That's his stock and trade. This is what this little street thug has done his entire life. But I'm not shocked that the people out there don't put the dots together.
There is a level of national coordination that is apparent to me. The race war was started a long time ago. It was predicted in a little-known book called Stop the Coming Civil War on pages 2 through 5, 44 and 150. But because it was so truthful, only my listeners went to the bookstores and bought the book. Martha Washington and the shillelagh-yielding O'Reilly refused to have me on Fox News. They'd rather have a jihadist on than me. Why? I forget me. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter if I sold 1,000 more books or 1,000,000 more books. It wouldn't matter one iota. I want the truth out there before this gets worse. Because this man has been at war with America long before he became president, long before he was installed as president, long before he was selected, not elected. He has been on a vendetta against this country. Now, I'll take some calls on this, and we'll play some sound. So let's go back to some of the archived audio so you don't forget who stirred the pot that led to the shootings of these policemen. And the top of it all is Holder and Obama. Remember when they said they were going to target racial profiling? Remember when Holder said that they're an occupying force? That was a wink and a nod. Listen to clip six.
Our police officers cannot be and cannot be seen as an occupying force disconnected to the communities that they serve.
So he's created the situation of that people of color are Palestinians and all police are now the Israelis. That's what Holder did. Now let's go to clip number eight, and here's the thug himself.
This is a national crisis.
The thug himself, who's much less smooth, but the same message as Holder.
This is a national crisis. It is a national problem. A few of us in the civil rights leadership met with the president and the vice president on this on Monday. We cannot just go from episode to episode, city to city. There must be a national response. The federal government must come in and intervene on the issues of criminal justice and policing.
So this uneducated pile of offal is now advising Sony Pictures on what they can produce. This pile of offals been advising the president on how to divide the races. What's next? Will this pile of offal now advise the police on how they can do their police work? How does a nation devolve so rapidly? How does it fall so rapidly? You all forget there was an election 6 weeks ago where the policies of hatred and racism were rejected at the ballot box. The very next day, the con man in chief got up there, walked out, and said basically there was no election. I'll do what I want, because in the next election, we'll make sure that we get as many illegal aliens as we can and as many gangbangers as we can to vote as often as they can. So he laughed at you. He laughed at me. He laughed at we who vote and we who pay the taxes. This is just the beginning. This is not the end of the beginning of this race war, nor is it the beginning of the end of this race war. What happened in New York City is just one more example of the race war we are involved in this country that has been stirred up by Barack Obama and his minions. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. You may disagree with me for a number of reasons. You can say it happened in a vacuum. You can say the guy was a nut. You can say anything you want, but so can I. And so I've said anything I want. It's that simple. WBAP in Dallas, Kegler, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Okay, I just want to give you a report card on various presidents we've had in the last 8 years, namely George Bush and Barack Obama. When they took over office, unemployment sky high. The car industry in the...
I don't really hear about the General Motors. What's your main point about the killing of the police?
He's spewing racism. He sounds like he's the high...
Will you stop for a minute? Kegler, you're not making any sense. You're talking about automobiles, not the killing of two police. Please stick to the topic at hand.
The ocean blue.
Are you talking? Are you listening? You're on a national show. You're not browbeating a neighbor now. Get in a dialogue, my friend, or I'm hanging up on you. You got it?
Okay.
What's your point about the police killing?
I know the truth excites you and you become angry. And lose.
Would you please stop it? Because you've got 30 seconds to respond to the dialogue or you're gone. What is your point on the police executions?
It was a tragedy brought on by some fellow say he was mistreated by the police down in Georgia, especially I've had a little experience with the police.
Oh, so in other words, it was caused by the police. That's your opinion?
Not only that, it's the system, not the cops are part of the system.
Wait, so your first point is that the poor man was abused by the police, even though he tried to kill his own wife. This poor, innocent black man was abused by the police. How was he abused?
How was he abused? Who knows, when you go to jail and they put you behind the bars and whip you, beat you, insult you, and so on and so forth.
Oh, so now we're back to South Africa before Mandela. Is that your view of America?
No, it's not. Look, I've been mistreated too, but I haven't...
Take a walk. You've been mistreated, my eye. I'm sick of this garbage. We've all been mistreated. Stop hiding behind racial garbage. Stand up like a man. Do something with your life. Mistreated my eye. I'm an immigrant son. What do you think, someone handed me something? I've worked more jobs in my life than you can ever imagine. I'm not proud of it. I'm not unproud of it. I wish I'd been born to a rich man. I wasn't. I had to drive right on the bus and the subway, strap hanger. Everything I've earned, I had to fight for. Stop telling me how racist the country is. What do you think, they loved me when I was in New York? Everyone handed me something because we had a little club, a white man's club? Are you people sick? I'm sick and tired of hearing about race standing in your way, because the opposite is true today. You know it and I know it. How else do we have a black in the White House? How else do we have a black attorney general? How else do we have a black in almost every level of government, every level of the military, every level of universities? What, because it's a racist nation? No, you can't play that card by me. You can go play it with one of your white liberal girls on Adderall. Try it on one of the white liberal boys on Adderall. Don't try it on me. Because affirmative action almost destroyed my life. You know what they did to me? They said to me, white men need not apply. Some lives have to be put on hold so that minorities can move ahead. That was 30 years ago. Well, they've moved quite far ahead now, haven't they? And look at the country today. Take a look at it. Take a look at what minority rule is doing to this nation. Take a look at it. You know, I have to ask you, are you that blind, the listeners, that you don't see with your own eyes what's being done to this nation? Now, I know that the taxpayers and the voters do. That's why there was a landslide 4 weeks ago, however number of weeks. A landslide rejecting the hater-in-chief's job. It was all about him. And what did he do the next day? He said, screw you. There was no election. I don't care about the election. And now he's tripled down on his fanaticism. And now two cops are dead, three cops are dead. How many cops is it going to take till you realize what's actually going on? The police, the thin blue line, is the only barrier we have between us and absolute and total jungle behavior. We're living in a jungle. The world is a jungle. The international sphere with the Islamists, they're animals who would eat you alive. Kill you or convert you. Rape your wife. Behead your infant daughter, as they're doing, as they have, where they have total power. So who is on the front lines against them? Why, it's the racist military. The evil, evil white male military who have the guts and the commitment to this country to go out and try to stop this tide of insanity from spreading to this nation. And who in this country is the only barrier between the savagery that lies in wait for every one of us? Why, again, it's the cops, it's the sheriffs, it's the highway patrol. It's every one of the police officers out there. Not all are heroes, but I'll tell you this, everyone who puts on a gun and a vest and doesn't hide behind a desk is on the front lines of the war that has been started by Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama has declared war on the police. He used the pretext of Ferguson to do so. And it's gotten to the point now where they're going after the police under the guise of minorities who have been oppressed. Whatever, you name whatever you want. And so here we are. Now the question is, what happens tomorrow? Most of us would say, I don't care. I can't do anything about it. It's Christmas on Wednesday night. I want to go to the stockings and get the peppermint sticks. I want to celebrate with my family. Good for you. Good for you. Well, tell that to the families of the slain policemen. Tell that to the children of the cops. Ask what's going to be in their children's stockings. Maybe some more of de Blasio's hatred for the police. Maybe Al Sharpton's favorite speeches can be put into one of the stockings of the police. The famous statements of Al Sharpton going back to the bullhorn days of the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire, or Officer Pagonis? Or how about Sharpton's slime bag lawyer, whose name I forget? Little guy, long ponytail, red diaper doper baby, has made billions of dollars suing the NYPD on false charges of racism. Did you know that? He was recently caught up in a sex scandal after Al Sharpton's 60th birthday at some fancy nightclub in New York City, attended by de Blasio and other New York dignitaries. Well, his slimeball lawyer took a woman home, and apparently something went on. He says it was consensual. She says it wasn't. But it's all interconnected. This is the filth running this country. Filth. Filth. Filth and garbage. Filth and garbage. I am sick. I am sick of painting pink dresses on flying pigs. I can't take it anymore. I can't take how people won't say what they see with their own eyes. What good is a country if you go to the ballot box and the president nullifies your vote by laughing in your face and then saying, I'll do the opposite because we have no Republican opposition? And by the way, where is the Republican opposition? Has Boehner the drunk said one word since the killings? Where is that useless drunk today? Or McConnell the gobbler with the gullet hanging down from his chin? Where's the gobbler today? There is no Republican Party anymore. Do you understand that? Do you understand we live in an oligarchy? 1994, Michael Savage enters radio. He says, the two parties are the same. Democrats, Republicrats, and we're looking at the shadows on the wall. I revolutionized radio. Republicrat, Democrat, oligarchy. Words not heard before in the history of radio, not heard from. It's not that I'm here to show you how smart I am. I'm telling you that I see this from the get-go. Obama is a revolutionary. We've had a revolution in the nation. What was the Castro thing last week? His blood brother is Raul Castro. He spends 30 minutes licking his boots on the telephone when he won't even talk to Boehner. He won't meet with the Tea Party people in the country, but he talks to one of the world's worst dictators. What was Obama signaling with opening up relations with Cuba? That he wants the police state that they have there here? Is that what he wanted? What do you think he wants? To go collect the old cars in Havana streets and sell them at Mecum auctions? That's not what it was about. And what's this Pope got to do with all of this? Well, let me repeat what I've said to you for the last 3 months. There is a worldwide international movement to turn the entire Western world into a socialist dictatorship of a minor order. The Pope was picked, first non-white, non-European Pope in 1,200 years, selected from a socialist nation. A lifetime of socialism. Most Catholics have no Pope right now. They have a politician in the papal seat. He's a politician, not a Pope. He's not a spiritual leader. He's a political leader, a revolutionary political leader. Pope, de Blasio, New York, President of France, Barack Obama, all socialists. Revolution. It started. The games are on. Get ready. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. A listener of mine sent me something that'll blow. I mean, this is astonishing. What's going on in America right now is called Helter Skelter. It's the Charles Manson scenario. The listener said the murders perpetrated by members of Charles Manson's family were inspired in part by Manson's belief in Helter Skelter, an apocalyptic war he believed would arise from tension over racial relations between blacks and whites. Did you know that? And he made references to the music of the Beatles and to the New Testament's Book of Revelation. If you look it up, you can say, wait a minute, that's amazing. Beatles lyrics is interpreted by him? Wow, Helter Skelter, how do you like that? Well, the Beatles refer to the locusts in the Book of Revelation. So are we now living through Helter Skelter on a national level? Is this the beginning of the war that Charles Manson dreamed of?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is one of Charles Manson's favorite songs. And a listener, unbelievable to me, a listener must be a genius, who connected the helter-skelter we're living through with Charles Manson's apocalyptic predictions of a race war in America. And in this song, Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life you're only waiting for this moment to arise. Meaning what, according to Charles Manson? The black man is going to arise and overthrow the white man. And the Beatles are programming blacks to rise. Now that's the madman Charles Manson. As you all know, he's just a lunatic in prison. Pay no attention to him. Listen to reliable sources like Jake Tapper. That's who you must listen to, is the media figures. They're the geniuses of our time. They're the prophets. They are the prophets of our time. Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer. They're the prophets of America. Not Michael Savage, certainly, the author of 29 books. No, but it's Jake Tapper. He's the genius that they found, finally. I'll tell you more about him in a few minutes. I'll tell you more about the connection between him and a few other things in a few minutes. So, Helter Skelter, Manson's scenario, Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. The murders perpetrated by members of Charles Manson's family were inspired in part by Manson's belief in Helter Skelter, an apocalyptic war he believed would arise from tension over racial relations between blacks and whites. Now, let's put all of that aside and ask ourselves a question. When Obama was anointed president, did you assume that we'd have better race relations, or did you think this would happen? I didn't know what. I didn't think it would be a race war that he would trigger. I knew what he was by his associations and his past. We knew that by his preacher. God Hate America. Remember that preacher we all made an issue of? Remember how Charles, what's his name, that idiot, that donkey from Arizona, that dumb mule. I don't know his name. I almost said Charles Manson. I meant that jerk who flew an airplane once. It was in Vietnam. I don't remember his name. I can't remember him. Who's the guy, the Republican jerk, who was running for the presidency? McCain. McCain the fool. Remember what McCain said? When people, just before the election, remember McCain was almost president? I don't know what would have been worse, him or Obama. It's hard to say. If McCain had become president, we might be in a war with Russia right now, that lunatic. I don't know who would have been worse, but nevertheless, we got Obama because McCain, on the eve of the election, was asked by a woman at a town hall meeting about Obama being a Muslim and this and that. And McCain said, oh, no, he's not a Muslim. He's a nice family man. Do you remember that famous night that McCain, the Manchurian candidate? You remember when Romney came along, the Manchurian candidate number two, won the first debate? He reduced Obama to rubble because Obama's only good in front of a teleprompter and a group of worshipers. Romney reduced him to rubble in debate number one. What happened next? They got Candy Crowley, who threw loaded questions at Romney and softballs to Obama. And Romney, on top of it all, was told by his handlers, take the fall. Take the fall. You got to take the fall. That's the way the Republican Party wants it. They want him to take the blame for what's coming in America, not you. But wait, you wait 8 years, Mitt. We'll run you again. You might have it eventually. This is what goes on. It's all a scam. The whole thing is a rigged game. This is like gambling at the racetrack. This is like gambling in Las Vegas. This is like thinking an election matters anymore. We had an election, and what did Obama do? He nullified it. They never thought we'd come out and vote. They never thought that a book called Stop the Coming Civil War and 3 straight months of me telling all of you who don't vote anymore to go vote. You can blame me if you want for telling you to vote. I said that our job will begin in January, if you remember when I told you to vote. Remember I said go and vote, create the landslide? I said then we're going to have to convert the Republican Party to a real American party, and our work will begin in January. I told you that. So actually my message is consistent. But let's forget me for a minute. It's not about me. It's about America. America's borders, language, and culture has been my mainstay since 1994 on the radio. Obama is destroying our borders, decimating our language, and crushing our culture. He is the pure and unadulterated enemy within. But he is so good at it that the fools don't even understand what he's doing to the country. They would vote for him no matter what. And so the rest of us who work for a living have a problem on our hands because now they're killing the police. Why are they attacking the police? You have to ask yourself, why are the police the targets now? Well, let me bring it down to a cellular level or an organism. We have an immune system, right? So the soldiers and the police are our defense cells. If you nullify our soldiers and police, our defense cells, our macrophages, our white blood cells, etc., a disease infects the body politic. And then the body dies. The body is weakened. And so the masters of the universe have weakened the American body politic to the extent that they can do almost what they want with it. So they think, and so they thought. They're wrong. They have not yet seen the people rise up. They will. They will. Oh, they will. They'll see it in the next 2 years. They don't think you will do it. You will do it. There's only so much people will take, and then they will rise up, and they will see the true face of America. They'll see the millions of gun owners, the millions of cops of all races, the ex-military, the military, the ex-intelligence agents. They will see a face of America that's been suppressed by Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer and all of the other slime bags who control the news and control what you're supposed to think. They think they're the masters of the universe. They have no idea they're only the marionettes of the evil. So let's move on and bring it down home, girl. And let's talk about the killing of the police. Who do you blame the most? There's a lot of blame to go around. Now, many of you say Al Sharpton. We know what he is. He's a race monger, a race hater of the lowest order. But I don't blame him the most. He just does what Obama and Holder tell him to do. He's a more vocal expression of their views, in my estimation. And I'm not the only one. Eric Holder is perhaps the most to blame, in addition to de Blasio. He tried to put a noose around the police. Listen to clip 30 of a few weeks ago. Listen carefully.
The Justice Department encourages law enforcement officials in every jurisdiction to work with the communities that they serve to minimize needless confrontation. It is vital to engage in planning and preparation, from evaluating protocols and training to choosing the appropriate equipment and uniforms. Now, this is the hard work that is necessary to preserve the peace and to maintain the public trust at all times, particularly in moments of heightened community tension.
Now, the word community is a loaded word. It's a code word. When they say community, they don't mean community of workers and voters. The word community has only one meaning to Holder. But let's go back to those who actually said it. You see, Holder is too slick to have actually said it. He hinted at the police being the racist pigs. But it was Obama who said racism is deeply rooted in society. Then, of course, there was Louis Farrakhan. Listen to clip one.
Let's when we him. Die and they die, then soon we're going to sit at a table and talk about retired. We want some of this earth. Because we'll tear this goddamn country up.
Well, we have free speech. You can't suppress Louis Farrakhan. Don't we have free speech in America? Look what Spielberg, Katzenberg and Matzenberg get away with. Now you have Al Sharpton advising Sony because Al Sharpton has a background in literature, film, arts, science, poetry, cinematography, the directorial skills required to make a movie. I mean, he learned all of that with a bullhorn in the gutters of New York. Why shouldn't he be directing Sony Pictures? If Phil Griffin is so spineless that he would keep this rat on the air over and over again with no ratings, the man reads a teleprompter. He can't even read a teleprompter correctly. And Phil Griffin keeps him on television. Why? All part of the helter-skelter scenario. They don't even know it. Guys like Phil Griffin are not in charge of anything. They're puppets. They're marionettes of much more powerful forces and figures. And so we look now at the killing of the police. You say, look, you're making too much of it. It's only three cops. Okay, it's only three cops. Really? Is that all it is? You think that's the end of it? Now, not to be outdone by any of this is Jesse Jackson. He had a little hand in, too. Listen to clip number 9 on the Savage Nation.
A body of pain and fuel of poverty, which is a weapon of mass destruction, precipitated by police action, triggered those riots. And that police behavior should, the police should have blacks and whites, men and women, but to be credible. This should reflect in the judges as well.
So they were all in on it. How do you feel about the so-called civil rights movement today? I mean, you haven't known what it is for a long time now, that it was hijacked long after Martin Luther King was forgotten. The con men jumped in on it to make fortunes off it, to aggrandize power. All you had to do was read Animal Farm when you were a kid to know exactly what's going on. And then you'll see the revolution that we're in. Does anyone raise your hand? Remember reading that in high school, Animal Farm, how important a book that was? Remember when they killed the farmer and took over the farm? What happened? Remember the fairness and justice that occurred? Now, he was talking about communism. Orwell had been a socialist in the 30s until he saw what socialism was doing when it was actually enacted under Stalin in Russia. And then he became a violent anti-communist through his writings. He wasn't a street thug. He was a great intellectual and a storyteller. And in Animal Farm, the fable, he was trying to tell people what happens after a revolution. So after the farmer was killed and the animals took over the farm, there were certain animals that were more equal than others. And they started abusing the other animals the same way the farmer had abused the animals, if you get the drift. So, I mean, I read Orwell a long time ago and it had a deep and lasting impression upon me. I don't think Orwell's allowed to be taught right now. I think they're teaching Katie Has Two Mommies instead. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. What do you want? Dead cops now. And who was leading the parade? Well, it wasn't Eric Holder. It wasn't Barry Obama. It wasn't the civil rights leaders. No, their hands are as clean as can be. They're men of peace and love. So who was leading that, what do we want, dead cops, when do we want it now? Well, I don't know. There were no leaders. We do know that Obama met with the leaders of these movements the day after the election. He even admitted he did. So there's no national coordination. It's just a group of lone wolves. Every time a Muslim kills someone somewhere in the world, it's a lone wolf. Every time a thug kills a cop, lone wolf, crazy, nut. No coordination, no connection. No, not at all. So, you know what the goal of Holder and Obama is? Do you know what the single goal is? The nasty state police, the nasty community police, the town police, they're not under control of Holder and Obama and Sharpton. They need Sharpton to tell them how to run their police department in Dallas, Texas. They need the street vermin, the rat of rats, the sin qua non of street garbage. They need him lecturing them on how to run a police department. Just as Sony needs that street rat to tell him how to make a movie. A guy who can't write a sentence without someone holding his hand is now going to direct movies for Sony because of some alleged emails between some of the hypocritical phony executives at Sony. Yeah, this is the country you're living in. This is what happens when you have a meltdown of a society. This is what happens when you have a race hater in the White House. It all takes leadership. It's all it takes is leadership to stop all of this. But he's busy golfing right now, dining in steakhouses and having sushi. He's not interested in America's problems. Just because he stirred the pot and started the ball rolling doesn't mean he should step in now and stop the snowball from gathering momentum. It's going right on course. This is a good way to nullify the election, isn't it? Isn't this a good way to get minorities to vote in 2016? to turn race against race, sex against sex? Isn't that a good thing to do if you're a community disorganizer? Yes? So the whole goal here is to nationalize the police under one set of rules. And then the police in Missouri, the police in New York, the police in Marin County, the sheriffs in Marin County, the highway patrol will all come under one federal banner. And then you will have peace and harmony. They will get rid of the white males in power positions in every police department in the country, replace them with women and minorities, and then you'll have peace and harmony in America. Then the only targets left will be white Christian heterosexual males. The only target for Hollywood is the white Christian heterosexual male. They just got defanged by North Korea, didn't they? They made a funny movie, smashing or ridiculing, rather, Kim Jong mentally ill un. And what happened? He threatened to blow up the world or something. Who knows what? So they pulled the movie. So who was Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg going to target next? White heterosexual Christian male churchgoers. They're the only safe target because they don't fight back. So like the cowards they are, him and Weinstein get together and they pick on the only targets they can pick on. Not Kim Jong mentally ill un, but Christian heterosexual white male, gun owners, Tea Party owners. I was in L.A. over the weekend and went to I was told to go to a certain restaurant. I won't name it. There's a new A-list restaurant. I mean, okay, fine. I wanted to see it. I'm in L.A. So a friend of mine was an actor. I won't mention who. Great guy, by the way. Wonderful man. Picked the restaurant. We all went there. We walked in. It was late. And guess who's sitting at the front table? Weinstein and Katzenberg. I swear to God. Two of the devils. Two of the worst people on the planet, in my opinion. Two of the people who've destroyed the mind of the world. Two of the people who continue to keep the con man in chief in the White House were there. And he went up to them. And I'll tell you what happened when I come back. Right here on your favorite radio show, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
What we have to do is change the fundamental relationship between police and community. Our police keep us safe, and yet there's been, as I said, not just decades of problems, a history of centuries of racism that undergird this reality. We can transcend that. We believe in New York City, retraining our entire police force is going to make a huge difference.
So the communist mayor of New York, de Blasio, who says he has nothing to do with the killing of the cops because he never said kill cops. He didn't want the cops killed. He only wanted them deballed, defanged, and reporting to Al Sharpton. He said that there's a racism behind the city and racism in the police force. And he wonders why this happened. The police know why this happened. They're not stupid. They know what happened. They know what they face every day. They go out with the vests on. Brooklyn onlookers cheered New York cop killings at murder scene. They deserved it. You missed that story in your local paper? Didn't make it to the San Francisco Chronicle? In between Rebecca Has Three Mommies? Brooklyn onlookers cheered New York cop killings at murder scene. They deserved it. Oh, yeah. Gathering onlookers reportedly cheered and chanted, I can't say the word, the police. A lot of people were clapping and laughing. Brooklyn resident Carlos, who would not give his last name, told the Daily Beast. A reporter with the website confirmed he too heard the anti-police chants at the murders. You're a bunch of killers, an angry passerby said to police officers standing across from Woodhull Hospital, where officers Wen Jianlu and Rafael Ramos were taken after being executed. A makeshift memorial was erected there for the fallen officers. Even some residents appeared to resent the amount of police presence in the area following the cop executions. Blah, blah, blah. So in other words, what else is new under the sun? These are the people who would kill you and murder you, rape your wife if it wasn't for the police. Of course they hate the police. If it wasn't for the police, they could have fun right breaking into your house in Scarsdale. If it wasn't for the police, they could break into your liberal household and take your gold in Great Neck. But you hate the police too, don't you, all you Upper East Side liberals? You hate the pigs, don't you? Because you came up during the civil rights movement. All you rich Upper East Siders in New York, you're down with the people. You understand them. You're on their side. as you race off to Saks Fifth Avenue in your limo. Well, anyway, you get the picture. Oh, let me finish the story about L.A. I know you all wanted to hear the rest of it. I forgot it already. I mean, I forgot I was going to. So I'm in L.A., and I went to dinner, went to the restaurant. It was the new, the fancy one. And I, you know what, I'm a quiet guy at home, but I do like to go out in L.A. I like the scene. I like the restaurant scene. I like all the posturing. So we walk in, blah, blah, blah. The guy's a great, he's a fabulous actor. This guy is so good. He's been in 200 movies, but you probably wouldn't recognize him immediately because he's been kept down by the liberals of Hollywood. Brooklyn, New York, Sicilian guy. That's all I'm going to say. This guy loves me to death. I mean, it was a laugh-a-thon. The 3 hours at the table, him and I were entertaining each other. I missed this so badly, the ability to rap with someone who really understands me. It was like one shot after another. You know how when guys hit it right? It's like, I say one thing, he says another. The whole table was an uproar. People were just digging. It's so good. So we walk in, he knows everyone. And as I say, if he wasn't a conservative, an outright, outspoken conservative, he'd be as big as Anthony Quinn because he's as good as Anthony Quinn. Look, I got a lot of charisma, but I'm ashamed to admit that I look in my photographs that I took of him and I'm like shrunken next to him. His charisma is so much greater than mine. I said, holy God, no wonder he's in movies and I'm on the radio. The guy has just such a screen presence. It emanates on any picture you take of him. He's like as powerful as Anthony Quinn. That's what I say. But because of his outspoken conservative policies, and he doesn't hide them, they've tried to kill him. So we go in the restaurant, blah, 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 da, da. We get there on time, 8:30, but the table isn't ready. We figured, whatever. Watch the bar scene. Over on the right, there's Katzenberg and Weinstein. So he said, let me go over and say hello to them. I said, what? I said, I scratched my head. So he goes over. He comes back. I said, what did you, how you know these guys? He says, they don't know your politics? He says, screw them. He says, they know my politics. I went just to get in their face. So you can see why he's not as big as Anthony Quinn. I mean, Katzenberg never forgets anyone who doesn't respect him and lick his feet. And Weinstein, are you kidding? The man's known from New York to Los Angeles for his wonderful fiscal responsibility. Yeah, one of the most honest men in Hollywood. But it was Weinstein who said he's going to wreck the Tea Party. He is going to destroy the Tea Party. Remember that? Wasn't bad enough that he ruined the mind of America, destroyed the mind of the youth, where every movie, virtually every movie he ever did was mayhem and butchering and murder and a gun. Wasn't bad enough. No, now he has to take down the American patriots in the Tea Party, you hear? So there they were in the flesh. He said, so what? Nothing. I'm just giving you an observation. They actually exist. They're real. They're real people. They actually eat ravioli. They actually eat lasagna. Probably they don't eat it. They probably eat some diet item. Anyway, there's no big story to the story. It's just a side note to the story that's big, which is the killing of the police, not only in New York, but elsewhere. And the race war that's been started by Barack Obama and Eric Holder and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. And frankly, the civil rights movement is now dead. It always was seen for what it is after Martin Luther King Jr. passed. We know the difference between the authentic and the phonies. We all know that. And we all know the Jackson, hi Jackson. Why do you think I affectionately call the Reverend Jesse High Jackson? Because he hijacked the civil rights movement, in my opinion. He has used it for personal gain his entire life. But at least he has a divinity degree. One thing you got to say about High Jackson is he actually went to divinity school. It doesn't matter that he sounds like he's speaking with a mellow roll in his mouth on purpose. And the new thing is the voice breaking in Jesse Jackson, like a certain plaintive cry, like he's crying in such pain on the way to the bank. But Sharp Tongue, I don't know where he went to divinity school. So far as I know, nowhere. The question is, why does Phil Griffin permit him to stay on MSNBC when there's a clear conflict of interest? Let me give you an example. If I, Michael Savage, were to say to you, I'm running for office in 2016 as a congressman or a senator or whatever, I'd have to leave my radio show. Do you know that you're not allowed to have a media show and run for office? Al Sharp Tongue is a politician. He fronts for Obama. He's a politician. How can he have a radio, a television show? How is it possible? How come he's not? How come there's no action? Why? Who runs the FCC? What, the Republicans have anything to say? Those deballed, useless idiots? There's so many things they need to do. I'm sure this is not the most important thing to them, but they should understand how important it is to do to them. Okay, I've spoken for a long time on the Savage Nation, but there's a little bit more sound I have to play. Let's now leave New York Let's now go again to Phil Griffin's despicable MSNBC. We do the archive work that others don't do. And we're going to play State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal about our race war in clip 12.
This is St. Louis's race war. We didn't have a race war like other cities throughout the country. This is our race war. And people have to be open, and they have to be honest, and they have to be earnest. And they have not been earnest for decades. In my own experience, I know of people in my own party, in my own government structure, who disregard things that we say and how we feel, and we are not going to allow it anymore.
So here's this moronic child after Ferguson saying this is St. Louis's race war. And you wonder, how did these people get elected? How? Well, how did Obama get elected? She's less articulate than him, but it's the same message. There's no difference in her message. Now, how often have you heard that the cops kill our black men without repercussions? How many times did you hear that in the last month or two? How many times a day, I mean? Here is Representative Marsha Fudge, whoever she is, again smearing police. Democrat Ohio, listen to this.
The Ferguson grand jury's decision not to indict former officer Darren Wilson was yet another slap in our face. It was a painful reminder that just like with Trayvon Martin and Tamir Rice and so many others, that law enforcement officers kill our black and brown men and boys without repercussions. While some may
picture?
See the grand jury's
decision. So the big lie, stop it. Turn this race monger off. So in other words, they were creating the narrative. Racist white cops kill black men. They repeated over and over again like Goebbels. Remember what Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, said? If you repeat a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So they got the narrative and they kept repeating it over and over and over and over and over until they thought they were saying it like it was real. Now here is another story on my website that I'm not shocked about. Here is a girl at Brandeis. Student leader, no sympathy for executed NYPD officers. And you take a look at her. Her name is Khadija, with Arabic next to it. She writes in Arabic, and she's a Khadija. And she's a student leader at Brandeis. Now, this is unbelievable. Brandeis is a liberal Jewish university that's bent over backwards to permit affirmative action cases to take over the university. And look what's going on. Now, Brandeis himself was a great jurist, one of the greatest. So two New York Police Department officers were shot execution style by a Baltimore gang member, a jihadist by the name of Ishmael Brinsley, who boasted about killing cops before he did this. And this woman, Lynch, a student leader at so-called Brandeis University, no longer a university per se, nothing but a hotbed of stupidity, in the student paper made statements that you'll never believe. And she said, American police forces of today descend from a legacy of slave captives and overseers and are racist bigots. I could read more from this lunatic. Now, the only reason she's a leader on campus is because she's a hater and she writes Arabic and she's black. So she was handpicked by the morons who run Brandeis to represent the university. So you say, well, why don't the supporters of Brandeis put a stop to it? Who do you think the supporters of universities like that are? They're liberal Jews. You say, well, what do they have to do with all this? Well, I'm sorry, but I'm launching into it now. All right, get ready. Get your ears perked up and call up Abraham Foxman. Call up Abraham Foxman at the ADL and tell him to listen. Oh, did you hear what that savage is going to say now about Brandeis and liberal Jews? No, he hasn't heard it yet. Hey, Haya and all of the other professional Jews out there, listen carefully. Here's what he's about to say now. On the airplane coming back, I picked up the New York Times magazine, December 21, 2014, and the headline was, In Exile, Liberal Jews in America are arguing and agonizing over Israel's rightward turn and hoping that Hillary Clinton can somehow rekindle the spirit of 1993, by Jason Horowitz. And it shows the hand-wringing Jews of America. But there's more to the story. At the same time, the September 1, 2014, New Yorker, Israel, America, and AIPAC, and they're attacking Israel and attacking Netanyahu. So they all got together. They decided to attack Netanyahu in order to bring in Hillary. And in a seamless manner, all of a sudden, from the synagogues to the newsrooms to the magazines, the argument comes out that Netanyahu is the man standing between peace on earth. and goodwill to man. So now I read the article in the New York magazine from that date. I'm shocked. I couldn't believe it, actually. And they talk about this guy Zemel, the rabbi of Temple Mikveh in the northwest section of Washington, in the constellation of liberal American synagogues. And there are a handful that stand out for their political engagement and the influence of their liberal Jewish members. And they name them Leo Beck Temple in Los Angeles, Congregation Beth Olahim in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and Cam Israel on Barack Obama's old block in Chicago. So these are the hotbeds of liberal Jewish insanity, in my opinion. So then they go on and they talk about Mr. Zemel, the great rabbi, speaking on Rosh Hashanah to the crowd. And he knew that the people gathered before him could help determine the United States policy toward Israel. Some of them had a direct line to Hillary Clinton. And they're all dying for it to win. And they name all of the people in the congregation in Washington, D.C. I was shocked to read this. And they name them. Al Fromm, never heard of him. Architect of the Democratic Resurgence in the 90s. I don't know who he is. But then it includes David Gregory, a former host of Meet the Press, thrown out because of his stupidity and his love of self. Jake Tapper, a disgraced CNN anchor, is in this congregation. Remember what Jake Tapper tried to say about me? And how I skewered him and he never was heard from again on this show? Dana Bash, a Washington correspondent for CNN, and the former wife of Jeremy Bash, who was a national security official in the Obama administration. Another member of the Jewish congregation in that synagogue is Alan Cooperman, director of religion research at the Pew Research Center, which a year before published a landmark portrait of Jewish Americans that showed, among other things, blah, blah. You get the picture. And then Zemel goes into a diatribe, the great liberal rabbi, a diatribe against Israel. And he says, I'm so ashamed, he shouted at the congregation. I'm ashamed at the growing ultra-nationalism in Israel by saying it had dragged through the mud what he called the greatest ethic of tradition in history. Of course, he should have been, what should have happened right then and there, Zemel's congregation should have lost its tax-free status. Because this little man, Zemel, became a politician. He doesn't know about the separation of church and state. Oy vey, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
This reminds me of the days back in the 60s and 70s when we faced executions of New York City cops. In this circumstance, I personally feel that Mayor de Blasio, Sharpton, and others like them, they actually have blood on their hands.
Good for you. That's former NYPD Commissioner Bernard Carrick. De Blasio, Sharpton have blood on their hands. Listen to clip 18. He's 100% right. Listen carefully.
They encourage this behavior. They encourage protests. These so-called peaceful protests that where people were standing out there saying, kill the cops. Well, I hope they're happy because they got what they wanted.
See, there's a man who speaks the truth. This is when America was correct. This is when America was run by sane men. This is when America was run by people who knew how to keep us safe, not only from the street mobs, but also from the jihadists. But look what's happening now. But the Obamas laid the groundwork for this. Read pages 2 to 5, 44 and 150 of Stop the Coming Civil War. Hundreds of thousands of you have the book. Give it to a friend. Rush out and buy one more copy for Christmas. Put it in the stocking of a liberal. It's a great stocking stuffer, Stop the Coming Civil War, because I'm afraid that we may not be able to stop it. I believe the killing of the cops is what they want. And I believe that they got what they wanted. It was only a matter of time until one of the jihadists went off and did this. And if I were a cop today, I would travel in pairs, and I would shoot first and ask questions later. I wouldn't want my widow to get a funeral. I'd rather that the widow of the killer get the funeral. You hear what I just said? Because I mean every word I just said. Don't
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. We have to talk about the scum of the earth. The filth has risen to the top. The filth is ruining the country from top to bottom and getting away with it. Now getting away with murder. Now make, death threats. After you're screaming fire in a crowded theater his whole life, all of us, they're threatening me now. Yeah, they're calling me up. They're threatening to kill me. Yeah, like his buddies didn't make the calls. Like, didn't that one of his friends call up? De Blasio attempted to demonize the police. Con man Sharpton gotten away with murder, according to Donald Trump. America on the ropes because of the race war stimulated by Obama and Holder. For years, it's their stock and trade. Don't you see it? This didn't happen with Ferguson. You think it started with Ferguson? If you read Animal Farm, you know how it works. That's how Obama got where he is. He's been screaming race, 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 race. You know, I read his biography when he came out of nowhere. And he said before he went to Columbia, he wasn't radicalized. He was a mixed race child. He never identified with the black father. No one ever asked him about it in Hawaii because it's a nation of many, many races. It wasn't an issue for him back at Punahou. Back at Occidental, he was a party animal. Ordinary college kid. Went to Columbia, and all of a sudden, he said he started to ape the Black Panthers and the Black Power movement. All of a sudden, wow, woo, did the world open up for him. Now look where he is. Air Force One, biggest military in the world, can nullify an election. What could be better? I mean, if it works for you, do you stop doing what works for you? So an election occurs 4 or 5 weeks ago. Every one of his policies is thrown out of like yesterday's garbage, into the dustbin of history. American people woke up. The next day he gets up and he says, drop dead, your vote doesn't count. Oh, he didn't say that any more than he said, kill the pigs. I mean, Obama's too smart for that. He was too smart to get up after the election and say, your vote doesn't count, because I'm going to bring in as many illegals as I can, and I'm going to stir up the minorities as fast as I can, and then going to show you who has the real power in this country. You white people are finished. He didn't say that. He said it in other words. Any more than he said other things in more than other words. He doesn't use the words exactly. He's too smart for that. He didn't become president by being stupid. Don't underestimate him. Never. So anyway, here we are. The cops are dead. America is waking up slowly but surely to the race war that has been instigated by Holder and Obama and de Blasio and the others. You can name them all, that minor player, that con man Sharpton. But you don't have to blame Sharpton. Blame Phil Griffin of NBC. Phil Griffin knows that he's also a politician. He knows that the rules prohibit a politician from having a television show. If I started telling you I'm running for office, I would have to give up my radio show. If anyone wants to run for office, they have to give up their radio or television show. They can't do it. So why are there two sets of standards? Why is he allowed to get away with it? Because Phil Griffin answers to the owners of the holding company that owns NBC, which answers to the White House, which owns everything. Fundamentally, they own everything through the power they control. They can eliminate licenses. They can make life hell for a media operator. Do you understand how this operates? So now the cops are dead. And the cops are now back to the 1970s where they have to travel in pairs and look over their shoulders because the Islamist whacked two of them. Oh, you didn't know he had a connection, that the killer was connected to jihad. You didn't know that? Didn't come out in the news? Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't make it to the Chronicle. The mosque he trained in, the Facebook page with a quote from the Quran. Didn't see any of that. Another lone wolf, poor oppressed minority. Is that it? Is that the story? Well, anyway, that's the country we're living in. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, as they say. The man who just murdered two police officers in Brooklyn is a Muslim jihadist. Be prepared for more Muslim violence in America, says Waleed Shubat. And he quotes the Quran that was on the man's Facebook page. And he says that. NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce said that he was Muslim but does not know if he was radicalized. Again, that was an old one. Another one. Brinsley. Brinsley, the murderer, admitted that he was a Muslim and also frequented Al-Farouk Mosque, which had a long history of terror support going back more than 20 years, which hosted Al-Qaeda co-founder, a Palestinian named Abdullah Azam. Al-Farouk's imam was Gulshir Sukri Majah, who was not only a regular translator for the blind Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, but his son Adnan became a top Al-Qaeda operative and was killed in a gun battle with Pakistani intelligence just a few weeks ago. Yet another mosque official, Sheikh Mohammed Al-Moyad, was charged in 03 with using the mosque as a front to raise $20 million for Al-Qaeda. So what I'm saying to you is, this is not making it to the newspapers for some reason, is that Ismael Brinsley, the killer of the two cops in Brooklyn, New York, had two Muslim names, Ismael and a middle name Abdullah, which means servant of Allah, is a fan of Sheikh Yusuf Estes, who's not only neck deep in the Muslim Dawah movement, but he meets with both ISIS and Hamas financiers. And Brinsley, the murderer, loved the Quran, specifically Surah 8 on his own Facebook page, which calls for arming for preparation for jihad war. So that's all you need to know about a motive as to why Brinsley shot the two cops in cold blood. Now you back it up and you see what's been going on in the country for months based on the Ferguson decision. And you see that Obama and Holder and Sharpton and Jackson and de Blasio were all deeply involved in stirring up the masses. Of course, they didn't pull the trigger, but, you know, there's a law against yelling fire in a crowded theater. Well, they were not only yelling fire in a crowded theater, they were passing out the matches and the lighter fluid. So I'll take some calls now on the Savage Nation. Let's go to WABC. Mike in New York City. Go ahead, please.
You mentioned earlier today about Mayor de Blasio's communist views. But there's one thing you failed to mention. He has something worse than his communist views, like most white liberals have. And it's a very bad disease called white guilt. And I don't
think de Blasio suffers white guilt. I think that de Blasio has used the guilt of whites to get where he is.
Okay. Now, I'd just like to know why. How come so many young white kids in this generation have this burden on them of this white guilt, like they owe something?
Because they were drugged by the doctors. They were diagnosed with fake illnesses like ADD, ADHD, you name it, overprescribed medication, turned into brainwashed idiots, and then they go to university, elementary school, high school, colleges where they're brainwashed around the clock about whites being this, whites being that, oppressed minorities this, oppressed minorities that. So they are the brainwashed armies of Obama.
Wow.
All right, that answers that question. Why go on and on? I've been doing it for 20 years. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Terry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I had something else to say, but when you do the, as a Muslim, when you do the Islamic component in so heavily, because I read the Quran over and over and over again. I've been a Muslim for over 20 years. I haven't been motivated to do nothing but take care of my family, be a friend to the human family.
Well, I hear you, but this guy apparently was not like you.
Yeah, he's not following Islam, so, but I want to get to the point.
You know what? I accept that, because we've touched on this 1,000 times, and I've reminded people that the Muslims in Pakistan have suffered at the hand of the Islamists to an extent we in America could never understand. Those are Muslims killing Muslims. So the fanatical Islamists certainly don't practice the Quran from the point of view of love thy neighbor. By killing the children, for example, of other Muslims, you can't say it's a Muslim issue, can you? You could say it's the issue of an interpretation of their Bible, right?
Right, exactly. But I grew up, I'm here now, you know, WMAL land, but I grew up in New York. And I grew up in a house, you know, my family, we gathered in Brooklyn every year for Christmas, and I have five uncles that, they're all retired, but collectively they've had over 120 years of service to NYPD, service team.
Oh, they're cops? They were cops?
Yeah, they were all cops. Most of them, one was a cop in Queens, and the rest were cops in Brooklyn.
Amazing.
And I'm not even including the second cousin that was a retired Secret Service agent. But at the table, the dining room table, after dinner was over, and they're all sitting there with their scotch and their glasses clinkling the ice, as a youngster, I used to peek in and try to hear what they were talking about, and I would hear a lot of stuff that had my hair standing on end. And then, of course, as I became a late teens, early 20s, then I was able to sit at the table clinkling my glass with my scotch in it and engaging them and ask them questions. Now, All of my engagement, personal engagement with police officers, whether it be Prince George County, District Police, Virginia, New York City, New York State, whatever I've had in my 53 years, I'm 53 today by the grace of God, and it's all been pleasant. However, I've learned through those conversations over those years, the late 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, at that table, there's some heavy stuff that goes on in the streets, and they've always came to the conclusion, like, look, we're not going to open our mouth, man. We like our jobs. We know what's going to come at us, and we open our mouth, okay? Not just the graft, the money graft, but the stuff that went on, the abuse that went on at the hands of Blue. Now, what happened in Brooklyn was horrendous. It made my stomach turn. It froze my heart, what happened in Brooklyn. However, we can't blame the protest because the protest had the reason why the protest happened is because people are just tired. They are.
Well, let's pause right there because I myself came out and said that the killing of Garner was manslaughter by that cop who took him down by the neck and then ground his face into the pavement. Do you remember that?
But now also.
Oh, wait, no, Terry, let's not go over that. I'm not going to change the record just to make my life a little easier. When they killed that big black guy for selling a cigarette, remember that story, Garner?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, I went on the air and I raged against the cop who did it to him. Do you remember? You probably didn't hear those shows.
Every day. I listen to you every day.
All right, but I didn't say that all cops are like him. I said specifically that in all professions, in all classes, in all races, there are good, there are bad, there are indifferent, and then there are really bad. And I felt that cop who put him in that headlock and killed him went over the line. We had other cops who disagreed with me, and some did agree with me. Some said he could have been taken down with a taser. He could have been taken down with holding him by a finger if they knew martial arts. They didn't have to do what they did to him. But the point was, I didn't then go say all cops are pigs, all cops are killers, and that you should go out and kill a cop. But the others basically may have said that because that's what they implied.
And another thing I want to comment on the Brandeis student.
As yes.
Who has been studying black history, not the one that you get in the schools, but I'm talking about really by myself, not listening to anyone talk, just me, studying books, going to the depths from the time we were brought over on the ships, even before then. And believe me, she made some valid points. I mean, she hit it right on.
Yeah, but how long do you want to go on with this racial enmity? How long must it go on in this country?
Enmity, but
you have a black president. Wait a minute. You have a black president, a black attorney general. You have blacks running most of the major institutions in government. Where does it end? Tell me what has to happen till you finally say there's no longer a legacy of slavery. When does it end?
Well, the president has put this window dressing. It's really tomfoolery that's going on, but that's another subject for another time. And
what you're saying you're preaching the Farrakhan line. You're a member of the Nation of Islam, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you're very smart. I get it. And you come from very smart, good people. I understand that as well. But what you're saying is simply not true. You know it's not true. You know that this is not only a land of equal opportunity, it's a land of better opportunity for minorities right now than it is for white men. You know it, and I know it.
But you know,
that every corporation in America is bending over backwards to find and advance minorities and women. You know, and I know, that Harvard in particular is bending over backwards to find and advance minorities who are less qualified than whites. Everybody knows that. Every child knows it who has killed himself to get a straight A average and only to see a minority with less qualifications get the scholarship and get the position. Everybody knows it in this country. So you can't argue that it's still slavery and, you know, the Jim Crow laws. Come on. You know that that's not happening.
Prison system, though, it's the prison industrial complex, which is mostly us in there. It's really it's almost akin to slavery. And you know the amendment where it says, unless I'm paraphrasing, if you get arrested for duly for a crime, whatever, then you can return. That was only for one group.
So you mean that every black man in prison is a political prisoner? None of them committed crimes? Is that what you're arguing?
Of course not. Of course not.
Let's start with reducto ad absurdum. Let's start with a reducto ad absurdum argument, which is what I just made. So I took it to the extreme. I said, you mean every black man in there is innocent? You said, of course not. So let's start with some of them are guilty. Maybe all of them are guilty. Maybe 2% are not guilty. So where do you want to put them? Where would you put the murderers, the muggers, and those who've committed crimes? What would you do with them? You say they should be given a pass because of past injustices to their grandfathers?
That's doing enormous amounts of time for nonviolent offenses. I mean, you have to admit, corporations have made 250.
Well, let's not bring in corporations with murderers, please. You're saying that the prisons should not be housing as many criminals for minor offenses. I would agree with you 100%. We have far too many prisoners in this country, and many of the drug laws need to be revised or revamped or thrown out altogether. The prisons are filled with drug offenders who are nonviolent. Isn't that what you're referring to?
Right, and they're making...
So you don't have any argument with me. I've said the same thing for 10 years now.
And also, you have...
Let's hold on. Look, you're very... You got great rhetoric, and I appreciate it. So I'm sending you a Christmas gift for your stock... Oh, wait. I don't know. You celebrate... What holiday do you celebrate this time of year?
This time of year is Kwanzaa.
I'm sending you a stocking stuffer for Kwanzaa. I'm sending you a copy of my wonderful, beautiful, delicious, strong, flavorful book, Stop the Coming Civil War for Kwanzaa. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Follow the words of Martin Luther King Jr., where he had that dream. I really wish to God we had reached that point, and we were there. We were almost there until this race hater arrived in the White House and brought with him on his coattails some of the worst people in America. We were almost there. We were this close to racial harmony in America. And then this race hater, this community disorganizer, and Eric Holder stirred up hatred like I've not seen in my whole life. And never been this bad. Never been this bad. Of course they were there. Sharpton made his living attacking police. Sharpton made his living lying about race. But no one took him seriously. He was garbage. Everyone knew what he was. Then Phil Griffin came along, gave him a job. Then Obama came along, invited him in and out of the White House. And then look what we have now. 4 months of propaganda from Obama that they should hate police, kill the police. Not exactly say kill, but hate. Hate, 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 hate. Hate, 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 hate. 4 months, Mr. Obama and Holder.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Of propaganda, starting with the president, that everybody should hate the police. I don't care how you want to describe it. That's what those protests are all about. The protests are being embraced. The protests are being encouraged. The protests, even the ones that don't lead to violence, and a lot of them lead to violence, all lead to a conclusion. The police are bad. The police are racist.
That's Giuliani. And, of course, without the police, tell me what would happen in black housing projects in New York City and elsewhere. Let me ask you that question. Say, all of you hate the police. Now, take the police away from impoverished neighborhoods, which are largely minority, and tell me what would happen in those neighborhoods without police. Just answer the question yourself. You hate the police, right? They're all pigs. All you girls from Columbia who are laughing right now because you think you know everything. Take the police off the streets of New York City, in any community, by the way, and tell me how long you could shop on Fifth Avenue. You know, if I were the police in New York City, I would go on strike. I would let the people see what the city would be like without them. One day, 50,000, I almost said troops, 50,000 police call in sick. Let the mayor go out and see if he could stop the crime. But they can't go on strike. It's illegal. It's illegal. So de Blasio ran an anti-police campaign based upon his buds in the White House, and here's what happened. And it's not over yet. It's just starting, by the way. It's just starting. Now we could talk about this over and over and over again. It's not going to change what's coming out of the White House. That's the problem. You think Obama's going to change course at this stage of his career when he's gotten so far using these tactics? You think so? I don't think so. He has no one to tell him to change. Who do you most blame for the cop killings? Obama, Holder, Sharpton, Jackson, de Blasio? Who do you most blame for it? That's what I'd like to know. WABC in New York. Don, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Savage. As a retired NYPD detective, I've witnessed the damage that Sharpton has done firsthand. Case in point can be witnessed at Bizarre Murder Case at CNN.com. That's Bizarre Murder Case at CNN.com, where rogue DA Jeanine Pirro, with the help of Al Sharpton, sent an innocent New York City cop to prison for saving his father's
life. Don, you've called the show for years. I understand it's a personal story. I get it. But what's the bigger picture here?
We need your help, Mr. Savage. We need your help.
Well, I don't know how to help you. I don't know what the story is, but you're saying a detective got railroaded?
He got sent to prison for sending his for helping to save his father from bat-wielding career criminals so Jeanine Pirro could get the black vote to get reelected in 1997. You can reach out to Richard Blasberg of the Jeffrey Deskovic Foundation for Justice in New York City.
All right, that's fair enough, and we don't like anyone who's innocent in jail of any race, by the way. 855-400-7282. Who do you most blame for the cop killings in New York and in Florida? WJJF in Connecticut. Luke is on another track. Go ahead, Luke.
Good afternoon, good evening, Dr. Savage. My question is, you were talking about the liberal Jewish folks in America, and my question is quite simple. How is it that the Israelis are so durable and tough, and the Jewish people here, I mean, I'm not trying to generalize, are, say, a little bit more lackadaisical? I mean, is it a geographical issue only?
Well, I would say I've thought about this my entire life, and I think there's a simple answer. It's the culture. Jewish boys and girls who grow up in Israel, are from the day they're born, are told what the history of their nation is, how their ancestors had to fight for every square inch, how the war, the surrounding Arab nations try to drive them into the sea. And they're trained from childhood to defend themselves and their nation. In other words, they have a sense of nation and country and also self-respect. The opposite is true in America, especially amongst the Jewish community, the liberal Jewish community in particular, who is trained in nonviolence, don't hit back, etc. So it's a cultural thing. It's not that they're inherently different. People are not inherently different. You could also argue that the genetic stock is different in Israel because it's a small population. And if you look at the genetics of the Israeli population, it wouldn't be the same as the genetics of the American Jewish population, would it?
I imagine not. No,
and I would think that the selection, I mean, if you want to get into genetics, there was a sort of self-selection for the more vigorous individuals in Israel to have survived. And in America, because it's the land of milk and honey, where people basically don't have to fight for survival, they could just drift along, and it's not the survival of the fittest necessarily.
Well, actually,
so I mean, that's, you know, you want to look at it from several different point of view, but there is a big difference. There's no question about it. I mean, kids are raised in the culture of guns in Israel in order to defend their nation. In American Jewish communities, the gun is anathema. In fact, most of the anti-gun legislation coming out of America comes from this very same liberal mindset.
Now, and the other thing I wanted to mention to you, the day before Thanksgiving, I enjoyed your show very much so. You were talking about the car that you're going to purchase from Dodge, the Hellcat.
Yeah, the Hellcat, right.
You were talking, though, about those planes. Those were Grumman's. Grumman produced those planes, the Hellcat, the Bearcat, and the Wildcat.
The World War II, the great fighter planes were Grumman?
They were Grumman. The manufacturer was Grumman. They were naval-born planes.
All right, I get it. So what's the main point? You're just telling me that's the manufacturer was Grumman, made the original Bearcat and Hellcat fighters, right?
Yes, sir. And that was
all right.
Thank you.
So I'm giving you a gift for Hanukkah, for Kwanzaa, for Christmas. I'm giving you a stocking stuffer. I don't know what to say about Kwanzaa, meaning I can't say a stocking stuffer if you're Jewish because they don't have stockings on the mantle. I would say a menorah, but you can't stuff a menorah. You could place a gift under a menorah or something. So which one are you wanted for, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, or Christmas?
Well, actually, I happen to be a Christian.
All right, you're getting it for us. I'm giving you a reduced-sized copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, suitable for implantation inside a stocking.
I appreciate
that. So stay on the line. It's funny, I was in L.A. at a relative's house who has no children, but he has four stockings on the mantle. And the names on them. I have a picture of me in front. It's very funny. I should post it on the website. It's so cute. I mean, the stockings were hanging there, and it was, Cash, Bear, Roxy, and then another one. The four dogs. The four little crazy dogs that run around the house. It's very cute. You know, people love their dogs. They're so innocent, and they're so real. Don't we love our dogs? Especially, isn't a house filled with children wonderful? And if you don't have a house with children, how about a house of dogs? And if you don't have anything, how about something? A house of dogs and children is ideal. Anyway, I'm not selling any. I know you think I'd launch into like an immediate sale of children and dogs at a special sale just before a mark-off for Christmas Day. That would have been a good live read, right? And we have a special today on children and dogs. In fact, if you buy one, you get two free. If you buy one dog, you get two children for free. Just today on the Savage Nation, you buy one dog, you get two children. For God, it is amazing. Look, there's a very big story here, and we've covered it now. The killing of New York police officers is definitely going to put a damper on the fraudulent civil rights movement. We know they've used it for their own advantage for years now. Martin Luther King Jr., they're not. We understand that. And his dream of I see black children and white children together, that was a beautiful dream. It was almost here. We almost had it. We were so close. We were moving so fast, so far. And along came Obama and Holder. And look where we are now. He set us back 50 years. WABC in New York, Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I was at what I thought was a vigil last night for the slain police officers in Summit, New Jersey. I started working for a news organization, so I've been at all the protests. And to my sadness and horror, it was actually an anti-police candlelight vigil.
No. They turned it into that?
That's what it was, and our newsroom actually thought that it was going to be for the police that were killed.
Well, who was running the anti-police summit in New Jersey? Who were they?
It was the NAACP of Summit, and I interviewed the leader, and I asked him, how come the message of, you know, don't resist arrest, that doesn't mean the officer was right or the policies don't have to change.
Well, first of all, the black murderer, let's start with what actually happened. The black man who executed the two cops executed a Hispanic cop and an Asian cop. Do you know that?
Yes.
So aren't they all people of color?
Yeah, the irony. There were two people.
What did he miss his original target or what?
And the newsroom was saying that it was offensive, too, that they planned their protest the very night after the cops.
Well, the NAACP today is not the NAACP of yesteryear. They become extremely radicalized. And extremely anti-white. The NAACP years ago, when I grew up, was a mainstream organization that made great strides in this nation for racial harmony. The current crop of leadership in the NAACP, unfortunately, has taken a more radical turn, and they may as well be run by Al Sharpton. The same exact mindset has taken over the NAACP that has taken over the streets of America. That's all there is to it. Let's go to the callers who are hanging on the Savage Nation here on San Francisco, here in San Francisco, listening on KSFO Radio in the heart of downtown San Francisco is Chuck. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, hi. Longtime listener, Dr. Savage.
Thank you.
I was in L.A. as a policeman in the 70s, and this is
wow. The
thing that we had going on down there.
Oh, that was bad. That was during the Manson years, wasn't it?
Manson, by the way, he was an Aryan Brotherhood member when he went into jail. He wanted to start the race riots so that the whites could actually take over the blacks.
He wasn't predicting helter skelter for the blacks to take over. He said that he'd like a race war for the opposite to happen?
That's correct. When he was in jail, remember he carved a swastika in his forehead?
Yes. Yes. Oh, sure, I remember that. He just got married, too. They let you get married now in jail.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Can you imagine what goes on in this country, the liberalism, how it's permeated every aspect of our country? I mean, even in the prisons?
Well, you
remember in the Bay Area in the 70s, a woman named Angela Davis? Do you remember that story?
Sure do.
Angela Davis was a black power advocate. And she was she not involved in bringing weapons into the courtroom in Marin County, California? Where a black prisoner executed a judge with a shotgun?
Two black guys. They put a lanyard around the judges. They soldered a lanyard to the shotgun.
Right. And wasn't Angela Davis rewarded for that act of bravery by being given a tenured position for the last 25 years at University of California, Santa Cruz?
That's correct.
Right. How many people remember that? So if they think that there's something new under the sun, they're mistaken. The left wing has rewarded violence and revolution ever since I have been a child. I have seen this grow and grow and grow to the point now where I fear a civil war, which is why I wrote that book, Chuck.
Yeah, well, I've read your book, and it's great. Yeah, I mean, you hit a lot of nails on the head.
Well, let's talk about it for 1 minute, Chuck. I said stop the coming civil war, and I asked on page 3, a very poignant question, Chuck, and I'm afraid that this execution marks a new stage in the in the progression. My question on page two is, it says, will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? What do you think of that question?
Okay, the process that they're going through, be careful what you ask for, be careful what you do, because the results may not end up being what you think they are. And when you say who's to blame, all five of those guys have their spoons in the pot. They're all stirring the pot. For what they
I understand, but don't they want this pot stirred? Don't they want the white people to rise up and commit an insurrection so they can declare martial law and seize guns and take away whatever rights may be available to us?
They're not so afraid of the whites. They would rather have blacks rise up, is my personal opinion of that.
Say that again. They would rather see the blacks rise up against the whites?
That's correct. Take it all over. That's my personal opinion.
So that's what you think Obama's end game really is?
That's what I think his end game is, to take control, complete control. I mean, that's what he's
doing
as president. He just nullified an election.
Hmm. Well, it's a different view than I have, and either one of these apocalyptic views are quite terrifying, are they not?
Yeah, well, they want to get the weapons, that's for sure.
Yes, the number one agenda here is to deball the police by putting handcuffs on them. That's what Obama intended from the get-go. He used the Ferguson situation to start the noose, the tightening of the handcuffs on the police. He wants to nationalize control of the police. That's the number one issue on his plate. The next thing he would do is be disarm the police and make them powerless in this nation. Turn them into the equivalent of the London bobby, who has no authority or no power whatsoever. In any kind of shootout with violent people in England, you know that they have to call for an officer with a gun in England? Did you know that?
That's correct. I worked in England.
So it's as bad as we think, especially now with the Islamists running wild. So who do you most blame? You say it's all of them, right?
All of them have got their spoon in the pot, stirring the pot.
Well, Chuck, enjoy the Bay Area. We all love it here very much. And I love L.A. as much, by the way. I still love L.A. I'm one of the few people who does. And I'm sending you another copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, not because you haven't read it or because you need it. I'd like you to give it to a liberal relative when you're all unwrapping Christmas presents on Thursday. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. I'm Nick. We have breaking news to close hour number three of the Savage Nation this Monday. Obama's popularity has fallen to a record low among U.S. troops. Only 15% of U.S. active duty service members approve of President Obama's job as so-called commander-in-chief, according to an annual Military Times survey. Now, his approval ratings amongst the general population plummeted to record lows. We knew that. All of his policies were repudiated at the election. We know that. But now the U.S. military is finally awakened to this deceitful man. Only 15% of active duty service members approve of Obama's job as commander-in-chief, according to an annual Military Times survey. This is the lowest popularity of any American president I have ever seen. And the question is, what would the approval rate of Obama be amongst American police today? I wonder what the approval would be amongst police today of Barack Obama. If it's only 15% amongst troops, what would it be amongst the police? He has just lost for the Democrat Party two very important segments of the Democrat majority. That's the only good news I could think of this Monday. God bless America, and thank you very much for listening to the Savage Nation.
Savage.